Lord, for what I'm about to say, this is what you have given to me. I cannot say, Lord, who it's for. But Lord, I do believe that it's more than just me. So Lord, I pray, whoever it is far beyond me, that they will hear it, understand it in the way it is meant to be understood. And Lord, that it will be a help to them. Indeed, Lord, may it change some things in them quite significantly. This I pray, Lord, and for all those who will listen again at another time on the web, we pray your blessing be on them and upon them as well. Last week I did Daniel, and part two is to come, but part two will not come this week because I got something during the week that is important to share and will also tie in with Daniel when I go back to it. A few weeks ago, I did a sermon called How Am I Doing? And I'm sure you all remember it very well, but just in case you don't, it was simply based on these few verses. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So I asked you and I encouraged you. It's a great way of asking the Lord, how am I doing? And I do not know if you have done that or not, actually, because I haven't asked people. But I did it myself several times since that sermon, because I think it's a very short and succinct way of getting the Lord's evaluation of how things really are. Anyway, I got an answer to the first part. Search me, oh my God. Or search me, oh God, and know my heart. Right? So, and this is what came to me. No, I think the truth behind it is I had already given him a kind of a dig out with it. And so this is what he said to me. He said, you're weary. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. You're weary. And then, obviously, so I said, so what's the solution? Jesus. Now, how do you think Jesus would answer that kind of a question? And there's obviously several options that are available to him from Scripture. He can give you many Scriptures, but here are some. Oh, first of all, my answer to weariness, not to be any way excessive, but my answer to weariness is 3 months on a Greek island. I said, Lord, that, you know, considering the COVID thing, the lockdown and all that, you know, and building back up the stamina, man would nearly need 3 months, you know, in a nice Mediterranean climate, you know, Greek breakfast, Greek salad, you know, Greek wine, you know, and gradually building up the resources. So that was my suggestion to him. I have to tell you now, even before that didn't float. I don't think it had anything got to do with COVID, to be honest with you. That didn't float. I think I'd be doing well to get a weekend in Donegal. So that solution was thrown out. Anyway, so there were many other verses, of course, that the Lord could speak to. So here is one of the ones, the great ones. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And we've all been like that at times, and we have gone to him. And he has given us rest, and I have got that at several times, and so have you. But that wasn't the verse that he gave to me. He could have texted me, or he could have prompted me with the promise from Isaiah. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So he could say, well, okay, I have assessed you there, Pat, and I want you to know, yeah, strength and power is on its way. That isn't what he gave me either. Another possibility, I won't go through all the Bible verses, we'll be here all day. Another possibility is from Jeremiah. I refresh tired bodies, I restore tired souls. Now that's a promise. So that's physical and spiritual rest and restoration. None of them. But he did give me a verse. Now remember, now he's talking here about weariness. And here is his solution to it. If running against men has wearied you, how will you race against horses? Let me read it again. If running against men has wearied you, how will you race against horses? You may be saying, what a ridiculous verse to be giving. Is that even in the Bible? Jeremiah 12, verse 5. How did this verse come to me? Actually, it didn't come in a thought process. It was not a prompting from the Spirit of God. It was literally, I opened a book that I've been promising to read for a long time, having still read it, and reflections on some of the Psalms. And I just opened it, and inside was that verse on a page on its own. And it just jumped out at me. If running against men has wearied you, how will you race against horses? I'll define in a minute the kind of weariness the Lord is talking about. Ultimately, that verse says this. You've got to toughen up. That is what is implied in this. This is the word of God given to the man of God, the prophet Jeremiah, under tremendous pressure at the time. Nothing like what we would face, or I would face. But this was God's word to him for his weariness. If you had gone to the Lord with that, and this is what he's given you, if running against men has wearied you, how will you race against horses? How would you react? Or indeed, I suppose, even if you're listening to me this morning, and you're hearing that, how would you react? Let me put up a variety of possible answers. To some, that sounds harsh. To others, it would sound at the very least inconsiderate. And I think most of us would agree that if another Christian said it to another Christian, at the very least, unsympathetic. But that's the verse. And that is what the Lord said to Jeremiah. Though it may be received as unwelcome news, it does address a significant but often overlooked principle about the thing on the Christian life, or life in general, longevity, and the importance of staying the course. Jeremiah, you've got to toughen up. If that was said in most Christian churches, it would be considered harsh, inconsiderate, unsympathetic, and almost unbiblical. But we can call it unbiblical because we have it right in Jeremiah. Now, there's much more in the chapter, but this is the only thing the Lord gave to me. And so we'll move on to the next part of it. If running against men has wearied you, how will you race against horses? It's a powerful question. And it's a question that Jeremiah has to answer for himself. And indeed, in me asking you that question, you're going to have to answer that for yourself. Because questions like this pose an individual response. What's been addressed, of course, is simply this. If you're weary now, how are you going to manage when it intensifies? Tremendous question to be asking. But it's not the kind of thing that we would be expecting the Lord to say. We would much more be expecting, come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest. How come that wasn't said to Jeremiah? Because what's implied in that verse of Jeremiah is that he either toughens up or he will not be able to last the pace, especially when it intensifies. That's what's been implied. There's no other way around it. And that's what the Lord was saying to me. Obviously, the only way you can stay on course is to toughen up. The question is, how? How do you do that? And incidentally, pretty much everyone that has to live in this world has to do this. Life can be very rough. It can be extremely demanding. None of us knows what even today will bring. And part of what the Lord is saying is, if you're weary now, what will you do should things get worse? I think the answer to it, as I wrestled with this for several days, you have to be resilient. And that is what the Lord seems to be saying to Jeremiah. And resilience is the person who is able to withstand or recover quickly from difficult conditions. Don't get me wrong. We can still go to God when we are weary spiritually, and He will give us rest. That's guaranteed. That's a promise. That's going to be there for us. But that is not what Jeremiah needs. That is not what I need. Because I've had rest. Indeed, I rested probably for the first month. When during lockdown, I had a great time and rested the mind, rested my spirit, read a lot, and had a great time filling myself. So the Lord is not addressing that kind of weariness. No, this is a kind of a mental weariness. The thing is, I can't go any further type of weariness. I've had enough type of weariness. I'm trying to put names on the things that you have. And what the Lord is saying is, you need resilience. That is not something you hear often from a Christian pulpit. Actually, in fact, what you hear is the reverse. You can't do it. You don't have it. Christ must do it in you and through you. He certainly will help with this resilience, and there's grace given for it. But there are things that we must do to cultivate that resilience. And what do they look like? Well, if running against men has wearied you, then the first thing we need is a marathon mindset. Let's say our goal, and I know it'll be a nightmare for many of you, was to run a marathon or even walk a marathon. A marathon, let's say, is 42 kilometers. So you set out to run a marathon, but after 10 kilometers, you are really, really drained of energy. You doubt if there's enough left in you even to go another kilometer, not a mind, another 30. And what the Lord is saying in that situation, if life is a marathon and you're running out of steam, only a quarter of the way is there, how are you going to do, and what have you got left within you for the other three quarters? When you really need that resilience and that resource within you to finish the thing. One of the things that I believe the Lord is addressing in this is a mindset. As we get older, we have to take things easier. Certainly you have to slow down. Of course you do. But that doesn't seem to be in the mindset of God. You go slower, but you still go on the course. There's a course right through the very end. So you have to have a marathon mindset. In other words, this is going to be a long-haul project. At some times, it's going to be moderately demanding. At other times, it's going to demand everything that you have within you. That requires resilience. That requires it. So a marathon mindset. Your marathon is over the day you leave this earth. So is mine. We cannot do it without Him, that's for sure. But there are things that we must do for ourselves. So I do not know how long my journey is left on earth. You don't know how long your journey is left on earth. But what we do know is we need energy, and we will need mental, physical, spiritual resolve, even steel within us, to see the course right through to the end, whatever the end looks like. Now, we do not know how long we are on our journey, and it could be, sometimes in marathon runners, it's the last quarter that can be difficult. And that's why they save up energy, so when they're running out of physical energy, they have something in the reserve that they can call upon for that part of the run. Which brings me to my next point. If we're wearied at a quarter of the journey, we'll not last to the end, as I've already said. So we must understand and master two things, as I see it. There's the importance of pacing yourself mentally and physically. So I remember some years ago, the Lord very clearly challenged me to get fit to where I could walk. I think it was 20 kilometers. After a bit of negotiation back and forth, I think I got him down to around 16, but I had to be able to do that. So I talked to the lovely and Kelly up in the gym, and I said, Kelly, this I need to do. So she came up with a plan of starting off gently and then building and building and building. So there's a pacing thing, so there's a little push on all the time. But she would watch for two things, which was really key in it. First of all, she'd watch to make sure that you were doing what you were meant to do. And if she saw you as slackening off, she'd be saying, what are you doing? Get back on that treadmill. So she wouldn't allow you to start slackening. But more importantly, she would be down on you like a ton of bricks if she saw you increasing the pace and doing so at the wrong time. She was always said to me, this is about having energy for all of the course. She used to say, anyone can have energy at the beginning, but it's at the end you'll need it. So she taught me the importance of pacing, mentally and physically. I remember talking to a man many years ago, a Christian man, and he was in the army at the time, and he was going through some really rigorous stuff. I mean, you know, kind of army camp boot stuff. I remember he telling me this. He said, one of the things that's amazing about the human body is we're able for more than we realize. You may disagree with that, but for the most part, we have had things in life where it says, I don't know where I got the strength from, but I got it. So when the Lord comes with something like this, he's talking, and there's two things. There's a mindset that has to be paced and sometimes even retrained, and there's the physical side of it. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and you can see that some of our resilience is waning, some more than others. That has got to do with a mindset on one side, but it's also got to do with the physical restrictions on the other as well. We're going to have to learn to pace ourselves mentally and physically and spiritually as well. Now, remember, my idea of, because I'm not burned out spiritually in any sense, actually, I'm in very good shape that way. Physically, I'm in reasonably good shape. But I said, Lord, it would be just nice to have 3 months off on the Greek island. You know, I don't believe in overdoing anything. You know, 3 months I thought was, you know, it was reasonable enough. You know, now obviously it can't happen at the moment because of the COVID thing and all that. But that would be my thinking, you see. And then you get this verse. Now that's the last thing you want to hear. I'm sure it's the last thing that some of you want to hear this morning. Weary. If you're weary now, what are you going to do when it gets really hard? But one of the difficulties that we have in the Christian world, and you know, is often we're like children on a bicycle with stabilizers. And we're fine once the stabilizers are on and we can go on our course, because we know if we lean on one side or the other side, then we'll get balanced again, and at least we won't fall over, and we'll be able to manage, and we'll be able to cope. But that's fine if you're 4 or 5 or you're learning the art of cycling, but you can't go around as an adult with those things on you. You've got to be able to learn how to balance yourself and movement and keeping going and building up the pace, etc., etc. And yet, much of the message in the Christian life is letting Jesus take the pressure from us as soon as we feel it. He doesn't do us any favors in doing that, because life on this earth, fallen life on this earth, for all of us, Christian and non-Christians, demands a great deal of resilience. We don't know, some of us, but maybe the greatest resilience we'll need will be when we are actually much older people and having to cope with whatever way things work out for us. And they may be much more demanding of us mentally and physically, even moving gradually. If we haven't that built into us, we're not going to be able to cope. So, if running against men has wearied you, Pat, how will you race against horses? I've got to do something with my mental way of thinking and how I act and react to that. I have to up my game mentally, but I have also to up my game physically. The difficulty that we have, though, is simply this. We as earthly people, human, we're on a different time scale to God. And there lies the problem. We have a human time scale, and the Lord works on a kind of a divine time scale, and they're radically different. And we would wish he'd speed up and get with the program and get to the end of the process. And he doesn't seem to be doing that. And there's reasons why he doesn't do it the way we want to do it in the time frame either. So what he's saying is, you have to be able to last the course. And in order to do that, you're going to have to toughen up. All the other stuff will be still given to us. But toughening up is a choice that you have to make. I heard a man on the radio some years ago, and he, in the last recession, he lost everything. Business, the whole lot, and everything went pear-shaped in him. And somebody was interviewing him, and a remarkable man, and he was talking away, and the reporter said to him, "Are you not depressed?" He said, "I do not have the time, I do not have the resources, and I can afford to be depressed." He said, "I have a young family, young children that are depending on me." He said, "I'm a married man, and I'm here to look after my wife, and I have a mortgage to pay. I can't afford to be down. I've got to use all my resources to find a way of getting myself back up and running so I can provide for those who I love." Resilience. If that man didn't have that, his family were in a heap of trouble, especially his young children. But he had that resilience within him. And because he had it, that became the driving force to move him forward. In conclusion, Psychology Today is a website. I look at it occasionally. And I looked at it this morning to see what they'd say about resilience. Here's what I found for us. Resilience is the psychological quality that allows some people to be knocked down by the adversities of life and come back strong, at least as strong as before. Rather than letting the difficulties, traumatic events, or failures overcome them and drain their resolve, highly resilient people find a way to change the course, emotionally heal, and continue moving forward towards their goal. That was some of the psychology that the Lord was using on the man Jeremiah as he was struggling with God's timing and why God wasn't moving quick enough in resolving the issues in his life, and especially the issues of his nation. That's Psychology Today. Billy Graham put it this way: hardship is not our choice, but if we face it bravely, it can toughen the fiber of our souls. I'll read it again. Hardship is not our choice, but if we face it bravely, it can toughen the fiber of our souls. Billy Graham. If running against men has wearied you, Pat, how will you race against horses? He hasn't given it, that verse, to me to condemn me, to demotivate me. In actual fact, the whole point of that verse is to do the absolute reverse and saying, actually, you have what you need to do what was required of you. You have what you need to make this life, which is a marathon, work all the ways, and to have what you need for the very end. It's there for you. But it is time, I would say, in some cases, overdue time, to toughen up. In closing, there will be two responses to this sermon. There will be those who will be hopping mad, even at the thought of it. And maybe even annoyed with me, but definitely annoyed with God. Because we're used to going to God, fix me, and by His grace, and I hope He continues to do that for me and you. But there are times where He'll just say, toughen up. Just toughen up. So some will find that a very tough word, a frustrating word, and will not be pleased. I was considering Mecca as an alternative during the week as I wrestled with this. That was my initial response. But there'll be others who will listen to this on the web, and figuratively speaking, they will do cartwheels. Because they have already learned this lesson, and they'll be saying, thank you, Jesus, about time, about time. He needs to toughen up. Three questions and I'm finished. Does that mean if Jesus tells me rest that I'll ignore it? The very minute He tells me rest, I down tools. Always have and will do so again. When He tells me to refill myself spiritually, and He has been doing that, and I've been doing a very good job with it, I'll do that. And those will come. And there'll be times of where to rest is the right thing, and to recharge spiritually will be the right thing. But I've also to be willing to accept when He says to me, though I might necessarily like it, toughen up, Pat. Toughen up. You have what it takes to see the course through. And so do you. Word of prayer, and then we'll do our songs. Lord, You, without You, Lord, we can do nothing. We acknowledge that. Even the breath of our body, Lord, is Yours. But Lord, none of us are foolish. Lord, we know this day that there's going to be the more demanded of us, Lord, as citizens of this country, when even when the COVID thing is over. Lord, the economic impact of this will go on to last for years. And Lord, we are even beginning to see it already. What was plentiful before COVID in terms of employment, Lord, it has pretty much disappeared. Lord, they may be pumping money into all kinds of things at the moment, but next year, Lord, they're going to have to do cutbacks in budgets, including health and all kinds of places. Because we won't have the money. And Lord, we will need resilience to cope with that, mental and physical. Lord, we still have our faith. We acknowledge that. But Lord, this was the word given to Jeremiah for, Lord, Your work in his life and Your work in his life for the nation at the time. And it was important that that man lasted the course of a very long ministry. And Lord, we are grateful, Lord, that he took that word, and Lord, that he did finish the course. And Lord, we have his writings to prove it. So Lord, we ask this day that You would help us. You'll not do it for us, but Lord, that You would help us with this resilience. And Lord, that You grant us the wisdom to know, Lord, when to rest up, but also, Lord, when to toughen up. And Lord, for our own good and for the blessing of others. And all of God's people said, Amen.